Acts chapter 25. Now when Festus had come to the province, after 3 days, he went up from Caesarea to Jerusalem. Then the high priest and the chief men of the Jews informed him against Paul, and they petitioned him, asking a favor against him, that he would summon him to Jerusalem, while they lay in ambush along the road to kill him. But Festus answered that Paul should be kept at Caesarea, and that he himself was going there shortly. Therefore he said, "Let those who have authority among you go down with me and accuse this man, to see if there is any fault in him." And when he had remained among them more than 10 days, he went down to Caesarea. And the next day, sitting on the judgment seat, he commanded Paul to be brought. When he had come, the Jew who had come down from Jerusalem stood about and laid many serious complaints against Paul, which they could not prove, while he answered for himself, "Neither against the law of the Jew, nor against the temple, nor against Caesar, have I offended anything at all. But Festus, wanting to do the Jew a favor, answered Paul and said, 'Are you willing to go up to Jerusalem and there be judged before me concerning these things?' So Paul said, 'I stand at Caesar's judgment seat, where I ought to be judged. To the Jew I've done no wrong, as you very well know. For if I'm an offender or have committed anything deserving of death, I do not object to dying. But if there is nothing in these things of which this man accused me, no one can deliver me to them. I appeal to Caesar.' Then Festus, when he had conferred with the council, answered, 'You have appealed to Caesar, to Caesar you shall go.' And after some days, King Agrippa and Bernice came to Caesarea to greet Festus. When they had been there many days, Festus laid Paul's case before the king, saying, 'There is a certain man left in prison, left a prisoner by Felix, after whom the chief priest and the elder of the Jews informed me when I was in Jerusalem, asking for a judgment against him. To them I answered, "It is not the custom of the Romans to deliver any man to destruction before the accused meets the accuser face to face and has opportunity to answer for himself concerning the charge against him." Therefore, when they had come together, without any delay, the next day I sat on the judgment seat and commanded the man to be brought in. When the accusers stood up, they brought no accusation against him of such things as I suppose, but had some question against him about their own religion and about a certain Jesus who had died, whom Paul affirmed to be alive. And because I was uncertain of such question, I asked whether he was willing to go to Jerusalem and there be judged concerning these matters. But when Paul appealed to be reserved for the decision of Augustus, I commanded him to be kept till I could send him to Caesar. Then Agrippa said to Festus, "I also would like to hear the man myself." "Tomorrow," he said, "you shall hear him." So the next day, when Agrippa and Bernice had come with great pomp and had entered the auditorium with the commanders and the prominent men of the city, at Festus' command, Paul was brought in. And Festus said, "King Agrippa and all the men who are here present with us, you see this man about whom the whole assembly of the Jews petitioned me, both at Jerusalem and here, crying out that he was not fit to live any longer. But when I found that he had committed nothing deserving of death, and that he himself had appealed to Augustus, I decided to send him. I have nothing certain to write to my Lord concerning him, therefore I have brought him out before you, and especially before you, King Agrippa, so that after the examination has taken place, I may have something to write. For it seems to me unreasonable to send a prisoner and not to specify the charges against him." Amen. This passage is all talking about Paul But before I go through, I just want to give a background of who Paul was. Some of us know about Paul. We've read about him in the Bible, Acts of Apostle, how he got converted. Paul was a Pharisee. Paul was somebody who was well-learned. He knew the law very well. And he served with zeal. He had passion for what he was doing. Although what he was doing was wrong, but he was passionate. And he did it. So one of the things that Paul was known among the Christians was that he persecuted Christians. And he did it very well. So when the name of Paul was mentioned somewhere, all the Christians would tremble. They were scared. Why? Because he went around, you know, taking them out of their houses, seizing them, and then taking them to jail. So when they knew that Paul was coming, you know what? They would tremble. And in chapter 9 of Acts of Apostle, why Paul, the Bible says that why he was breathing threat. It's like, I'm going to deal with this Christian. He was breathing threat. On his road to Damascus, he had an encounter with the Lord. You know, Jesus appeared to him. And the Bible says, Jesus said to him, Paul, Paul, then he was called Saul. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? You know, Saul said, who are you? And Jesus said, I am Jesus. What happened there is that Saul encountered Jesus and his life was never the same. You know, the same zeal that he had persecuting the church, the same zeal that he had working for the high priest and all of those, you know, big men, religious figures then, he had the same zeal now serving for the Lord Jesus Christ, preaching the word, going around telling people about Jesus. You know, for this high priest, he became a threat. Why? Because, you know, people were converting to Christianity. People were giving their lives to Jesus. And there were more people giving their lives to Jesus. So the high priest, they looked at that, they said, wow. If we leave this man to carry on with what he's doing, before you know it, we'll have no one left to come to the synagogue and listen to us. So they plan to kill him. Amen? What I want to stress here is that as Christians, when we come to Christ, when we give our life to Jesus, you know, when we genuinely, I don't just mean making the decision, and then doing things the way we want. When we genuinely give our life to Jesus, we genuinely surrender our life to Christ, believe it or not, you become a threat to the enemy. You will be persecuted for standing for the truth. And if you are a child of God here today, and you said, I've given my life to Jesus, and the people you are with, you know, your old friends are still comfortable in your presence. The people that you knew before being a Christian are still comfortable doing everything the way they used to do with you, behaving the same. There is a question mark. Have you really changed? Have you really changed? I remember Pastor Rob said once here, he said, when I gave my life to Christ, that was the best thing that happened to me. The things that I used to do, I wasn't doing them anymore. But he said, some of my friends ran away from me. You know, I thought they would embrace it and thinking, oh, I'm not gambling anymore. And that's a nice thing. No, they didn't like it. They didn't like the fact that I wasn't gambling. That wasn't a good company for them. And they persecuted him and he left them anyway. He didn't need them. You don't need people who do not agree with you. So when we genuinely give our life to Christ, seek God, work in His ways, we will be persecuted. Sometimes the persecution is not even outside, even right in the church. You know, when you take a stand and said, I want to get deeper in my relationship with the Lord. I want to know Him better. I don't want to do things the way I used to do them. The religious people in the church will object you. Some of them will stand and say, no, what you're doing is not right. Amen? But we shouldn't be discouraged. Why? Because Jesus said it. will be persecuted for standing for the truth. Will be persecuted for doing the right thing. And we can see that in the world today. You know, the values are so corrupted. When you stand for the word of God, sometimes people see you as being weird. Just because you want to live according to biblical standards. Amen? Let's stand up for the truth. Amen? It doesn't matter what we come across. The fact that we're standing for the truth. You know what? Jesus is there with us. He will back us up. Amen? Now he tells me when I read, you know, Felix was the previous governor. He left Paul in prison for 2 years. He knew that Paul has not done anything wrong. And now, Festus took over. He also wants to please the Jew. And he went to Jerusalem just to find, you know, favor before them. Now they asked for a request. They said, why don't you ask Paul to come over here to be, you know, judge over here? But then he said no. You know, when I was reading it and I was thinking, why did he say no? Paul wasn't aware of this. And even Festus wasn't aware of the fact that the Jew were planning, like, if he said yes, laying ambush to kill Paul. He wasn't aware of that. But he said no. So that tells us that God protects us. He said no. Because God had a purpose for Paul's life. It wasn't time for him to die yet. As children of God, God protects us. Paul wasn't aware. There are things that happen, or that we plan to happen in our life, that God will fight those battles even without us knowing. You know, sometimes when I pray, I say this, Lord, I thank you for fighting my sin and unseen battles. Because there are unseen battles that he fights that we're not aware of. Like in the case of Paul, he preserved Paul from being killed even without Paul knowing. Hallelujah. Amen. Isn't it awesome, our God? Amen. Amen. He is a good God. Hallelujah. So when I kept on reading, I asked myself this question. Felix knew that Paul was innocent. And even Festus knew that Paul was innocent. The question is, why did they keep him in jail? Because the reasonable thing would be, you know that somebody is innocent, to free the person. Why would you keep them in jail while you know they are innocent? The Bible said in the book of Proverbs chapter 21, it said, the heart of king are in God's hand. And like watercourse, he inclined them where he wants. So God could have touched their heart to release Paul, but he didn't. Why? Because he had a reason for that. Hallelujah. Now somebody could say, how could God have, you know, a reason keeping someone in prison? What kind of reason is that? He had a reason. Hallelujah. So I just want us to read Acts chapter 9 as from verse 15, but you can, in your spare time, you can read as from verse 11. He said, but the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. You see, when you look at verse 15 of Acts chapter 9, that was Jesus speaking to Ananias. You know, when Paul encountered Jesus, he became blind. And then God appeared in a vision to Ananias, asking him to go and pray for Paul. Then Ananias was scared. It's like, Lord, you've heard this. They've said so many bad things about this man. But the Lord said to him, he is a chosen vessel. It's somebody that I've called to declare my word before kings, before the Gentiles, and before the children of Israel. So God had a plan for Paul to preach the word before kings. And that was the way that God was fulfilling that plan. You know, most often God has a plan for our life, and God will tell us, I've called you to do this, I've called you to do that. But God never shows, He doesn't show us the process. He said, I've called Paul, he's a chosen vessel, I've called him to preach before king. But God didn't tell Paul that you will do that while you are in prison. Hello? He didn't tell Paul you will do it while you are in prison. So while in prison, when we read, we see that Paul had the opportunity to speak not just to the kings, to the governor, but to the prominent people of the city. Amen. So I was thinking, if Paul wasn't in prison, would he have had that opportunity to speak to kings? Honestly. I want you to answer me. If Paul wasn't in prison, do you think he would have had the opportunity to speak to kings? I don't think so. So God allowed him to be in prison so he would be able to speak to kings. So his word will be fulfilled. And while in prison, Paul wrote almost one third of the New Testament. Maybe if he wasn't in prison, he would be out there preaching the word and he wouldn't be able to write the word, these letters to the church. Letters that are very important to us today that we use in our Christian walk with God. Amen. Our God is a master planner. He plans everything. You know, as Christians, most of the time when we face challenges, when we go through tough times, we always think, oh, he's the enemy. Oh, he's Satan. We bind, we jump, we pray. Sometimes it's not the enemy. Sometimes God will allow those things to happen in our life. Sometimes God will orchestrate them. Why? In order to fulfill his purpose in our lives. Can somebody say amen? Amen. I know it's difficult and it's hard to accept. Yes, God allows some of those things to happen in our lives. Our Christian walk is not going to be all rosy, rosy, rosy all the time. There are times where God will allow us to face challenges. I remember Gemma, when she was testifying, she said something. She said, I'm somebody when I want something, I always go for it. I do everything in order to get it. But then this one, having a baby, is beyond my control. You know what? It's beyond your control. God wants you to trust him for this one. God wants you in this one, you draw closer to him and know that I can't do it on my own. I need you. I need you. He wants you to fix your eyes on him. The Bible says he's the author and the finisher of our faith. To have faith in him, not faith, you know, in your own self. When you know that I can read, you know, I can write, I can spend time, I can discipline myself to write and publish those books. No, this time you can't. And sometimes it's frustrating when you find yourself in that position where you can't do anything. Just trust in God. Amen. Can we read Isaiah 43, please? This is verse 1 and 2. It says, but now thus says the Lord who created you, you know, in the place of Jacob, put your name, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I've redeemed you. I've called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. You know, just look at that word, when. He didn't say if. He said when. So it's just a matter of time. Each and every one of us, we go through something. But he said, when you pass through the waters. In fact, I want to go to the first verse. He said, you are mine. I've redeemed you. I've called you by name. So before you go through the water or the fire, the Lord is saying, you are mine, you are my child. I've redeemed you. It means I've paid everything that you need. I've paid the price for everything that you need to be successful in this life. I've paid the price for everything that you need to succeed, to come across that challenge that you're facing. I've redeemed you. I've called you by name. You are mine. You are the child of the Almighty God. The one who wins every battle he engages in. The omnipotent, omnipowerful, omniscient God. And he says, you're mine. I've called you by name. I've redeemed you. And he said, when you pass through waters, I will be there with you. So he's saying, whatever you're facing, whatever challenge that you're facing, I will be there with you. So if you're facing a challenge right now, he's saying, I am there with you. And through the rivers, he said, well, they will not overflow you. So sometimes we are overwhelmed by what we're going through, but the Lord says that they will not overflow you. You will not be crushed by that situation, he's saying. He said, when you walk through fire, you will not be burned. And I want us to look at what water does. You know, water cleanses. We use water to clean something, isn't it? And fire purifies. So what that tells me is that we need to go through those waters. We need to go through the fire. Why? Because when we go through them, God transforms our life. He walks through our character. And I often said, God is more interested in our character than even our prosperity. Because the blessing can take you somewhere. If you don't have the character to maintain you there, you find yourself down there. Amen. So God uses our challenges. He uses the things that we go through in order to work in our lives. Hallelujah. Now when we look at Paul's case, why Paul was going through the situation he was going while in prison. Do you know what? Paul didn't sit there and say, oh God, look at me. You know, wallowing in self-pity. Father, I've been preaching your word, you know. I'm here because of you. I'm here because I've obeyed you. Why are you leaving me here? Why are you not doing something about it? No. While Paul was there, he carried on doing the work of God. Amen. So what the Lord is telling us is that while you're going through whatever you're going, while you're going through that challenge, keep on doing the work of God. Keep on doing what he has called you to do. Keep on focusing on him. Because the word of God says in the book of Peter, I don't know exactly where, it says that God will not allow any challenge, any temptation to come to us. I'm just paraphrasing, that is above us. The Bible says that with it, he will always make a means of escape. Hallelujah. So there is nothing that you're going through today that is more than you. I know sometimes it's difficult to believe that, but that's just the truth. For those of us who are parents here, I believe you can't give your child, you know, more than what they can bear. Is it possible? You can't. You can't allow them to go through something that you know they can't. Amen? Except as parents, you know their strength, you know their weaknesses. So when you allow something, you know that this one is able to do this, that one is able to do this, isn't it? So God knows each and every one of us. Now, our challenges are different. If they give me some of your challenges, I'll be like, ugh. Now, if they give you mine, you might look at mine and you think, that's nothing. But to me, that's something. I might also look at what you're facing and think, oh, that's nothing. You can trust God with that. But to you, that's something. And God will not allow us to face what we can't. Amen? He gives us the grace that we need. Now, in the case of Paul, someone could say, okay, but Paul was kept in prison and he stayed dead. You know, he died eventually. But God knew Paul could take it. Amen? Do you believe that? He knew it. So I want us to read that. Just go with me in the book of Acts chapter 21. I'll just read verse 13. Then Paul answered, "What do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? For I'm ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." God knew Paul could take it. Now this is when in the house of Philip, you have the prophet who came, Agabus. He came and he took the belt. You know, Paul's belt, bound in hand and his feet. And he said, this is what is going to happen to the person to whom this belt belongs when he goes to Jerusalem. So that was Paul. You know, and the believers said they were begging and crying, begging Paul, trying to persuade him not to go. But Paul said, no, why are you crying? He said, I'm ready to go there. I'm ready not just to be bound, I'm ready even to die. For the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So God knew that for Paul to die for him was a gain, and he was ready for that. Amen? So that's why he could allow Paul to go through that, because Paul was ready. Paul was prepared. For Paul, it was a favor. It was a great honor to go through those things for Jesus. Amen? So whatever you're going through today, believe me, God is going to come true for you. He is there with you, walking with you, and he will help you to go through it successfully. Amen? Now, the one thing that you just have to do, keep your eyes on him. The Bible says that having our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Keep your eyes on him. Be focused on him. You know, forget about the distraction of the enemy. He will always do that. Always bringing things around to distract you from your focus. Just focus on Jesus. In the midst of that situation, keep serving God. Keep doing the things that you're supposed to do for the Lord. Amen? And at the end of it all, believe me, he will definitely do it. Hallelujah. Amen. There is a song there that I would like us to listen to. Why? I close. Yeah. Amen. 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 Yeah, that's a good word. Because sometimes when we go through trial, tribulation, some people would think, oh no, it's because you're living a sinful life. That's why I think these things are happening to you. No, you work in the ways of God and they will still happen. Because the Lord said, we read Isaiah 45, he said, when. He didn't say if, when. So it comes. And God uses again those challenges to fashion our character, to build us up, to make us the people that he wants us to be. Amen. Okay. There is a song that I want us to listen to. If you know the song, you can sing. But then I really love the words of this song. Very encouraging.
Give a cross. I made a way through some valleys. An assurance. What an assurance that whatever we're going through, He's there with us. You know, I like what He said. He said, When I see through it, I know that it will end with celebration. So whatever you're facing today, I just want you to look at the end. I know that you will celebrate. It would end with celebration. It would end with great joy. Amen. Father, we just thank you for your word. Father, we thank you that Lord God, whatever we go through, Father, you're there with us. Lord, you're there to guide us, to lead us, to give us strength, Father. You're there holding our hands, oh God, and helping us. Even when we stumble, we fall, Father, you still pick us up and, you know, carry on with us. Father, we thank you. We thank you that we can trust in you and we can count on you. Lord, we just thank you even for the offerings that we're giving today, Lord. We pray, Father, that you bless them and you bless us for giving, Father. And that, the money we use, Father, to further your kingdom. Thank you, Lord. Even as we go out of this place today, Lord, be with us throughout this week, Father. We declare that we are blessed. We declare, Father, that we are victors and not victims. Father, we declare that we are the head and not the tail. Father, we declare that our week is successful in the name of Jesus. Father, we declare that as we go out, Father, we will touch other people's life for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.